Lord, for the most needed help. I would seek your attention to the Gospel as recorded by John chapter 10 and verse 16. The Gospel as recorded by John chapter 10 and the 16th verse. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Oh, may you and I ever be humbled in the dust, that we have before us the words of the Son of God. Great men, and there are in the world, and they are known by their great writings. Great men in authority demand respect, and they should have respect. But a greater and a more glorious person is the writer, the speaker of these words. It drops from the lips of one who spake as never man spake, and they are words of life and words of blessing. They contain comfort, and indeed they contain everything that the Church of God shall ever come into the need of. We have a most blessed relationship here, a sacred relationship. That relationship comes from Christ, and it is known by those who are his people. It is a separating relationship. It binds the people of God to Christ, and it brings a separation between them and those in the world. And it is an eternal separation. Let me read what is written in Matthew chapter 25. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Where will that be? Heaven. But it will be where they shall be, but it will be at the judgment day where that transaction shall take place. Now, there is, of course, a prophecy here. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to the Jewish nation. He was speaking to those who were believers in Jesus, those who were his. And he was speaking of a time when, through the gospel preaching and the blessing of God, the Holy Spirit upon that preaching, where the Gentile church shall be brought in to that spiritual fold. And these, therefore, is words of prophecy. Other sheep, those of the Gentile church, and they of the Jewish church, that is, the spiritual Jew, not the unbelieving Jew. You must remember that he came to his own, and his own received him not. Doesn't apply to them, but to the believing people of God, Jew and Gentile shall be of one church and shall be of one people. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, therefore them also I must bring. And when I first was drawn to these words a few days ago, it seemed such an emphasis, you know. Oh, let us look just for a moment at the prayers of the Lord's people, who seek the prosperity of Zion, that pray for the empty seats to be filled. And it came like this to me: other sheep must fill those seats. Pray for the prosperity of Zion. Pray for his gracious work to be seen. But my friends, it wouldn't be prosperity if it wasn't filled by sheep. That is the Lord's people. We seek an increase in the church. We seek an increase in the congregation. But those increases must be found in these words: and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Oh, pray for the Lord's people to be revealed. Pray for those who are still dead in trespasses and sins, whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pray for them, that their day of release, their day of deliverance, their day of blessing shall come. But my friends, the Church of Christ, if we may use the description, is made up of sheep. They are the Lord's people. And if we seek the prosperity of Zion, we shall seek for those other sheep. They are still his. Other sheep I have. They are still his. Those are the ones we want to see, that shall inhabit the courts of God's house, and shall be fed with the finest of the wheat, and shall come in and out and find pasture. These are the souls that we pray for. Christ Jesus, in the 17th chapter, said, I pray not for the world. And my friends, we pray for the divine blessing of the grace of God to be seen bringing forth those other sheep out of nature's darkness, out of the kingdom of Satan. Oh, and our Father, these other sheep go when they are destitute of grace. Oh, there are extreme examples in the Word of God, but you might know those extreme examples in your own pathway and in your own walk before that day of grace came when you was called out. Who would have said Saul of Tarsus was indeed one of Christ's sheep? Who would have said in all his enmity and all his persecution, all his hatred to the truth and the denial of the gospel, that he was one of Christ's sheep? My friends, pray for the Lord's people to be revealed, and pray for those that shall be revealed to be found under the sound of the truth, and that Zion shall prosper by it. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Oh, that's a wonderful word. It's got authority on it. It's got divine appointment within it. It's got a power that is beyond nature in it. Them also I must bring. Because nothing shall prevent that work. Nothing shall hinder it either. In the ages past, as it shall always be, God's work shall be opposed. It was so in the birth and life and walk of Jesus Christ. It shall be in his people's pathway, walk and life. But my friends, it won't alter this truth. Them also I must bring. And the power of the Spirit in that work, no power can withstand. The authority is here. It's divine authority. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. I thought too, and you'll forgive my simplicity, my friends, what will the sheep need? Well, they shall live on spiritual food. Spiritual food. I happened to see a field coming home yesterday where there was a flock of sheep, and the grass was cropped also very, very small. But within that field, you know, there was rubbish growing, nettles growing, that which was not eaten, it was left. Other sheep, my friends, these people of God, they won't be brought up on rubbish. They cannot prosper their soul on rubbish. Anything less than the truth is abhorrent. But they shall grow according to the truth, being made a blessing to them. And they shall be by divine grace able to leave the rest. It's content. The goats will eat anything, you know. Will crop anything in a field. But not so sheep. And I believe that's one of those sacred evidences of grace in the soul. Oh, that your soul shall be fed. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you desire spiritual food, nothing but spiritual food will content you. Remember in the Gospel of Luke, the example of the prodigal. He would have fain have filled his belly, we read, with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And one of the characteristics, I suppose, we might put in concerning the parable of the prodigal is so evidently seen in the people of God. And what was it? He began to be in want. Oh, these other sheep will not live on rubbish. The people of God will be able to discern between letter and truth, and between the blessing of the gospel on that which is no more than emotion. They shall feed only on that which is spiritual and that which is of Christ. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now, other sheep also, this people, this gracious people, shall have the witness of eternal life within them. And it is by God's divine gift that they shall be so. One of the ways, I suppose, and I've got to be careful when I start talking about the natural side of these words, because I don't know anything about sheep. But one of the ways, I suppose, of the shepherd is that he calls and they know his voice, as we read down the chapter just now. And they shall be under his control, but under his safety and protection too. They are indeed a very favoured character, a child of grace. They shall hear the voice of their beloved. He who is the good shepherd of the sheep. They shall hear his voice. One of the most clearest and yet simplest examples of spiritual life. My friends, I'll discern between the difference. I'll discern that difference between the voice of the enemy and the voice of their beloved. Now the sheep I have. But then, my friends, we must speak too of the power of grace and the gracious teaching of grace and the mercy of God in grace, because it is sovereignly displayed upon these that are the people of God. And the extent of grace. Oh, glory in this thought, my friends. The extent of grace. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The power and authority of grace, and that reaching out of grace to wherever his people are. You may be at the ends of the earth, but grace will find you out. You may be in a dark and distant place in spiritual things, weary of the conflict of oppression or indeed the enemy's word and power upon your natural mind, my friends, but grace will find you out. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and such that are called effectually by God. And that is a powerful calling. It has authority in it. It has mercy in it. It has love in it. And what is so more, I was going to say, so blessedly to be known by it, my friends, whatever condition those sheep are found in nature's darkness, wherever the people of God are found in the broad way of destruction, how deep their iniquities are, how far off from God they are, how estranged from God by wicked works they are. Nevertheless, my friends, these that are his shall be under a gracious, effectual calling, and they shall be called out of the world and out of the snares of Satan, and they shall be brought into the glories of the kingdom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. There can never be a vacant throne in glory, my friends, and neither will be a hoof left behind. All for whom the Lord Jesus Christ laid his life down for, I must bring. They will be brought out of the world. They will be brought into the church. All these, the people of God, my friends, will find that their company of the world won't want them anymore. They speak a different language now than the world. They desire spiritual things. They desire not what the world finds so attractive. It doesn't feed their soul, so therefore it is of no profit for them. They are under God's especial care and under indeed the divine blessing and mercy of a triune Jehovah. Once called, they are safe. The word tells us, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What safety there is for these people, because they are enclosed in the covenant of grace, sealed in the blood of Jesus, and eternally safe on earth, and a glorious heaven lies before them. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. You know, my friends, is it not a comfort to you? Have you got such a soul laid upon your spirit to pray for, that have gone into the broad ways, gone into worldly pursuits, shaken off restraint, shaken off chapel going, not now to read the Bible or hear it read, not now to sit and hear the discourse of preachers, but content with the world and the things of it? Has the Lord laid them upon your spirit? Are they souls you have to beg for, pray for, plead for every day of your life? Do you lay them, as it were, at Jesus' feet? Do you bring them sometimes because of their so great opposition to the truth? Do you lay them there and beg the Lord to deal with them? Oh, my friends, what a word of comfort should they be amongst this blessed sheep, this number, this people of God? Then I must, them also I must bring. They shall not go into eternity without that gracious work shall be seen, though it may be the 11th hour of their life. Oh, consider not only as a triumph of grace, as a brand plucked from the fire, but consider the dying thief. Consider that he lived his life in sin, until that he was crucified on the tree, as he was for his deeds. See that as example of the mercy and goodness of God, but see it also too as a word of warning. Oh, let none look upon it, my friends, with contempt. Let none look upon it with distress, but rather look upon it as the ways of grace, though it be at the last moments of that man's life. Amongst those blessed people in glory is a thief, you know. and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. You know, it's just a wonder really when you consider the work of grace and consider the gospel day. You know, this was spoken in when the Lord Jesus Christ was but 33 years of age or thereabouts. And this word, it was not for the present, his present time only. It was, my friends, till the end of time. That 17th of John, which is the intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in that prayer, which really is again far-reaching in his prayer, and by it was, as it were, a prophecy of the church. He speaks of having prayed for them. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But then he says this, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You know, you can take that as being a prophecy or a prayer laid up of Christ in the eternal kingdom of heaven till the end of time. And this word, until the church of Christ is complete, every vessel of mercy shall be found safe within that fold. My friends, this word shall remain. It's a promise, it is a prophecy, and it shall come to pass week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, until the time when the angel shall call for the end of time and this world shall be dissolved. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. We are not told what number they are. We're not told, my friends, because we are not to know these things. But here we have a precious, comfortable word and a blessed promise, as well as a prophecy. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Well, my friends, grace will gain the victory. Christ and his church is one. There shall be a blessed day, you know, when those sheep of Christ's fold shall be brought into the liberty of the gospel, brought into the fellowship of the church. Christ will be first, Christ will be last, and Christ will be all and in all. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Very simple is the gospel. It becomes more simple when the Spirit himself does reveal the blessing of that gospel, you know. One of the clear lines, one of the clearest views we have of grace in the soul. They are his, first of all. Other sheep I have. They're not anybody else's sheep. They come from the offscouring of the earth. They come from the depths of iniquity. They come from the Adam fall. They are a people chosen of God. They are the subjects of the love of God. And they shall be the subjects of the calling of God unto eternal life. But they are Christ, you know. They are his possession. He dwells in them and they dwell in him. And they live on spiritual food and on nothing else. And they are a blessed people, though men, as you have sung in that last hymn, men will, for men their fairest claims deny and count them basely born. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. What did you pray for when you come to chapel? Did you pray to hear his voice? Did you ask the Lord that he might speak today? Oh, I believe, my friends, that is one of the evidences of life. Gracious life in the soul. That the Lord should speak. Oh, he does speak through his word. He does, he uses his own word. He drops it into the heart, you know. And the sweetness, do you recognize the voice of Jesus? Oh, you say, well, I don't see him. How do I know what he, how do I know that it is his voice that speaks? If you're brought up to read the word of God, you often wonder whether the word has been just dropped in out of some long time memory of it. And then you wonder whether it's a word from the Lord or just something that you've thought up. They shall hear my voice. This is the voice of the church's living head. This is the voice of God. This is the voice of him who spake as never man spake. This is the voice of him who commanded the waves and the billows to cease and the wind to drop. He is the one who spoke peace in the midst of storms. This voice of the Lord Jesus, they shall hear my voice. Do you hear it, my friends, in your soul? Do you hear it, as it were, as a word of authority? Do you hear it too as a word of direction? Do you hear it as a word of blessing in your soul? If he should speak to you, my friends, if one word is spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ into your soul, it's the evidence of spiritual life. Oh, what a blessing it is, my friends, to hear the word of God, but to hear it from him. We have it in written form. He is known as the incarnate word, but through his blessed spirit he will speak into the soul, and he will speak words, my friends, which shall have a profound effect upon that soul. Sometimes, you know, it's often said that people speak what people want to hear. Some of those who rule over us speak what people want to hear, and they claim that to be, well, indeed, what they would rejoice in. A child of grace will hear what they don't deserve to hear. And the child of grace will hear what they fear they will never hear. And when the Lord speaks into the soul, he speaks in life and speaks in power and speaks in blessing. Oh, think of those dear people who, in the days of the flesh, of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, think of those blessed characters who heard his voice. Think of the dear woman who was caught in the act of adultery and was brought into Jesus Christ's presence by those who would see her condemned to die. Moses' law demanded death for adultery, and they brought her to Jesus to see what he would say. And what did he say? He said nothing. And then he opened his mouth and he said, let those that without sin cast the first stone. And one by one they went out. And then he spoke to the woman. Those words were to the men that brought her to be condemned. And then he spoke only to that dear woman. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. My friends, this is what the sinners in Zion will hear. And they shall hear my voice. And what is in that voice? There is pardon in that voice. There is mercy in his voice. And there is love to his people in that voice. Not a word of condemnation to a poor, wretched sinner under the threats of the holy law of God. Oh, that speaks despair to the people of God. But you know, in the midst of the holy law of God, felt and the power of it felt upon the spirit and upon the conscience, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Oh, think of that dear woman who came to the Pharisee's house, an example that's ever before me. Oh, there was the Pharisee in all his arrogancy, seeking to prosper or profit by the person of Christ in his midst. Oh, that they've had the Son of God to sup with him, or Jesus Christ, the healer, or whatever they called him, the master. What an advantage would he have over other Pharisees to be able to speak of that time when Jesus was in the midst of his house? But it was a blessed time for a poor sinner that lay at his feet, that washed his feet with her tears, that dried them with the hairs of her head. And what condemnation lay in the heart of that man. If this man was a prophet, he knew what sort of woman this was. She had a title, you know. And she had a description in the 43rd of Isaiah. We read of the Lord's blessing to his people. And he says this, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And what did he call her? Sinner. That was her name. Oh, if this man was a prophet, he'd know what sort of sinner this was. She was evidently, shall we say, a public sinner. Everybody knew her sin and her iniquity. Whatever and by whatever means she was labelled and what for she was labelled, we have to leave, my friends. But it seemed as though she was well known as a sinner. But she was the one that was blessed of Jesus Christ. Not the Pharisee in all his arrogancy and self-righteousness. Not also because of his comfort that he sought to give the Son of God. But the poor woman in a broken heart and a sorrowful spirit. This was the character, and these are the characters who hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. They shall hear my voice. Oh, they're not worthy of hearing it. They've not done anything to deserve hearing it. If you go, and there are times in the year when you are presented, some people are presented at the palace before the Queen, and they receive accolades for something they've done in society or in some public way, and they've received it for their good deeds. My friends, how far short does the people of God feel to be? But they shall hear his voice. Oh, you might come to a place like David did when he said, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. But the children of God shall hear his voice, because he said they will. And though they have days of darkness, times of separation, times of misery sometimes, times of sorrow because of sin, or times when the world seems to gain the victory, or nature would prevail over grace if it could. But you know, my friends, this will remain. And it's the evidence, my friends, of the blessed union between Christ and his church. That verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. I met a man a week ago Wednesday, and who's a deacon in one of our chapels. He said, oh, I remember that weeknight you came. And that was the text, my sheep hear my voice. What did he remember of it? Because the first thing I said was this. The two important words in this text is this, my sheep. And he keeps reminding me of those two words. My friends, if you and I are in this favoured company, you will hear his voice. Not to condemn. Moses' law will condemn you. The justice of God will condemn you. Satan will condemn you. He'll whisper condemnation to you. The world will set you at naught because you are followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. They will despise your religion. Your old nature will hate your religion and would turn you another way. My friends, but here is one of the most simplest and yet one of the most blessed evidences of a child of grace. And they shall hear my voice. And he'll speak from heaven. And he'll speak into the soul. He may use the means of grace, but he may not do so. But it'll be by his Spirit, and it will be with power. And it shall be in blessing. You say, what of my sins? My friends, if you listen to his voice, if you listen for it, You'll listen for it if you are a gracious soul. You know, we must never lose sight of the extent of this blessing, you know. Do you need divine direction? Do you need to be shown the way in which you should walk? Do you have a matter which only the Lord you feel must put straight? It may be even providential things that you bring before the Lord, that you might have a voice from heaven that will tell you and it will show you and lead you by his own word and voice in the way that he'll have you to go. My friends, it's the best thing to wait for. Like the woman, as I've said in Luke's Gospel and others too, they waited on him, you know. And there's sometimes there's an expression used like that, they hung on his voice. Was not that they anticipated days of blessing, but they longed for him to speak, and when he did speak, he spoke into the heart, and it was profound, and it was blessing, it was mercy, it was compassion. They heard the voice of Jesus. Now the sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. In Matthew's Gospel we find this word, and it has been described before, and it has surely must be to the people of God one of the most blessed words that Christ could ever speak to his people. And that is this: come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's such a sacred mercy in that, you know. If you know the relationship, that you, a poor, wretched sinner on earth, that deserve nothing, and yet Christ says to his people, though they are by birth and practice sinners, though their old nature is so opposed to God and godliness, he says to them, come. You know, when the people of God get to glory, when that great day of assize shall indeed come, when, as we read, as we reminded you as we started in Matthew's Gospel, the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left, and he'll speak to them both, but he won't speak the same things to them both. You know, when the apostle was a preacher of righteousness, he was what was called all things to all men. He didn't alter his gospel as he spoke to the world, no more than he altered his gospel to speak to the church. He was all things to all men. They heard the same things. Whether they liked it or not, my friends, depended on the grace of God within them. But there will be two different sentences at the judgment day to the church of Christ, to poor sinners, wretched as they are as they walk here below. I'll hear his voice then. It'll be the voice of the judge, by the way. And it will be, come thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. But he'll speak a different sentence to those who are not his, to those who have gone through life rejecting this gospel and turning away from this truth, and their nature so opposed to the gospel and all the mercy that's in the gospel, cannot receive it because they're still left to be dead in trespasses and sins. My friends, the sentence will be, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, reserved for the devil and his angels. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. You have also the example more in the East, in the Middle East, than there is in the West, of course, that a shepherd in the Middle East will lead his flock. The Word of God tells us so clearly so. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Are there not precious promises in the Word of God, which shall remind us of the presence of Christ going before his people, and the Lord He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, and nor be dismayed. And thou follow his footsteps. And where he goes, thou go. My friends, that is the simple explanation of a shepherd and his sheep in times in the Middle East in those days. And is it not so spiritual? If you would want to know that your pathway is according to the decreed appointments of God, look for who's leading you. Look who's before you. Can you find him in your way? You know, whatever your way is, distressed or dark, or if you've lost sight of the pathway and you venture by faith to walk in darkness, before you in the way will be Christ Jesus. But then, you know, look too for the way of salvation. You'll find him there, glorious in his apparel, marks of suffering upon his hands and his feet and side and upon his holy brow. Oh, you'll see him in that pathway of salvation. People will tell you you've got to do something for salvation. People will tell you you've got to take up with this Jesus Christ, accept him as the Saviour, and all such derisive and also distressing and deceiving words. But the Holy Spirit will lead you to Calvary, to where the Lamb was slain. And you'll see that one way of salvation, and there is no other way. Behold a scene of matchless grace. It's Jesus in the sinner's place. These what makes the ways of salvation so blessed, because it's an undeserved favour. They are unworthy of such mercies, my friends, but here is the good shepherd, is the saviour of his sheep, the preserver of spiritual life, and the giver of eternal life. Now the sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I believe I have it right, but in old times, you know, when they got every one of them in the fold safely, where was the shepherd? He was laying in the gateway. He was, as it were, blocking the entrance. Any power of evil, any harm that would come, would have to first pass his presence. He was the gate, as he said here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. But then, my friends, which puts a difference between the natural and the spiritual. What was it that makes that solemn difference? Well, what he said. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. They are sheep of Christ by calling, but they are sheep of Christ by his work of salvation. That he laid his life down, died for them, bled for them, suffered for them. That's how close a relationship there is between Christ and his church. They have life eternal by his death. And they have eternal blessings that they shall know in time and throughout eternity because of his death and resurrection. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Then you know, as a good shepherd, it will be that they shall hear his voice, not only in love and mercy, not only in forgiveness and pardon, not only in divine direction. Oh, listen for his voice if you want to know the way you should walk. But, my friends, also in correction. as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Tell you something which is so precious to the child of God, you know. He'll not turn away any seeking soul. He will not turn away any coming soul unto Christ. And furthermore, you know, what we have again by parable, but by experience too, surely. When one was lost, 99 were in the fold safely, but there was one missing. And he went and looked for it. And he brought it home on his shoulder, rejoicing. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen.
If the Lord will, there will be anniversary services held here on Tuesday. Mr. Peter Woodhams is engaged to preach, and services to commence at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Tea will be provided. Because of this, there will not be the usual service on Wednesday. Our pastor is engaged to preach next Lord's Day. Church members are reminded of a church meeting to be held next Saturday at 3 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 690, tune 724. The Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies, to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, his wonders see, his sermons hear, and think him nothing worth. A remnant small of humble souls, his grace mysteriously controls, by sweet alluring call. They hear it, and his person view. They learn to love and follow too, and take him for their all. Hymn 690.
blessing upon thy word. Dear Lord, pardon everything that has been amiss. Come again, meet with us, Lord, and bring us together in the evening of this day. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us each, both now and forever. Amen.